In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Holidays can hurt. Seems like we're more aware of this fact than we used to be, or at least we're more ready to talk about it now than we used to be. Though we still see advertisements and holiday specials that show the stereotypical Norman Rockwell-esque family gathered around the table, overflowing with the bounties of creation. There's an acknowledgement, seems more and more, that for many people, this Thanksgiving won't be a happy one, and in a month's time, Christmas won't be so merry. A lot of people have had a hard year. A lot of people have struggled with many trials, sicknesses, sorrows, bitterness, death. Many tables, there will be an empty spot that was filled last year. And again, for many, there seems to be little, if anything, for which to be thankful. It's good that we recognize this. It's good that we recognize that the holiday can hurt. But the solution proposed by the world is to shut it all off, to close it all. Turn off email and text notifications about the holidays, to distract yourself with anything and everything that will keep your mind from the holiday celebrated tomorrow. Well, certainly there's nothing wrong with foregoing the turkey and the stuffing, football, and perhaps even the family gathering. As Christians, we cannot, indeed we must not, cease to give thanks, even in the worst of years. The scriptures teach this. You're commanded. Paul, for example, in 1 Thessalonians, writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In Ephesians, he writes, "Be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so for this reason, we confess in the small catechism that it is our duty to thank and praise, serve and obey God who created us and still takes care of us. And also in the Lord's Prayer, we pray that God would lead us to realize that he graciously gives us our daily bread and receive that daily bread with thanksgiving. Yes, it is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to the Holy Lord, the Almighty Father, the everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. But how can you do this when those gifts of daily bread, whether they be physical or immaterial, whether they be goods, family and friends, health, and well-being seem to be in short supply in your life? Paul has the answer for us tonight. He calls it a secret, and yet he's all too happy to share that secret with you. The secret of being content in every circumstance, whether you have been brought low or have enjoyed a year of abundance, whether God has granted you plenty or given you a time of hunger, whether you are abounding or find yourself in need. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving will be a happy one or a hurtful one. Paul says this, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." It is the will of God in Christ Jesus that you give thanks in all circumstances. It is only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, being filled with the Spirit, that you can give thanks always and for everything to God the Father. Truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The secret, which is not so secret, the thankfulness in all circumstances, always and for everything, at all times and in all places, faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. True thankfulness is not a feeling of gratitude in your heart that will quickly fade away and vanish the moment that sorrow comes. True thankfulness is the response of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. We have the example of the Samaritan leper, who alone truly returned to give praise to God for the healing he had received. He turned back. He praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He had faith. He didn't have a momentary sense of gratitude, but rather a faith worked in his heart by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, a faith that made him well, a faith that saved him. Such faith has been granted to you, dear Christians, through the word you hear. You have faith. And to live in faith, to have the thankfulness that flows from faith, is to realize that not only has God given you every gift of body and soul that you possess, and only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in you, but that he has given you the greatest gift of all, his only begotten Son, crucified for you, that you might be delivered from death and hell forevermore. Again, St. Paul tells the Philippians that he learned how to be content, whether brought low or abounding. In any and every circumstance, he had learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. That was faith in the Lord Jesus, who humbled himself, who fasted in the wilderness, who was brought low to death, who abounds in grace and mercy toward you. It's out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy that our Heavenly Father forgives you, gives you gift upon gift, word of forgiveness, the waters of holy baptism, the very body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in the sacrament of the altar. Loves you. God, the Almighty Creator, loves you. He did not love word alone, but in deed and in truth, giving his Son for you. If he did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for you all, how will he not also with him graciously give you all things that you need? He has provided for your eternal welfare, will most certainly take care of your needs today. Through faith, you know that Jesus Christ has purchased you to be his own. And if you are his own, then all things will indeed work together for your good. We heard on Sunday, the Apostle Paul writes, again, 1 Thessalonians, that God did not destine us for wrath, to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if your destiny, willed by God himself, is eternal life in heaven, then everything God is doing for you is to see that goal to the end. Yes, even the trials, even the tribulations, even the crosses you bear are sent by a loving Father who wants nothing less for you than an eternal feast and everlasting joy. Whether God afflicts you or comforts you, whether he disciplines you or consoles you, whether he withholds from you or provides for you, all of this he is doing because he loves you. It's for your good. There are times, yes, where God blesses with money and goods, with happiness and gladness, with food and drink. To enjoy these blessings of God, as many of us will tomorrow, is not sinful. By faith, we have to consider ourselves to be just as blessed, even if we don't have these things, even if our lives hold nothing but poverty, suffering, misery. By faith, we know that we are true children of God. So like the children of God of old, Israel, the Lord wills to discipline us, to humble us, test us. And yet, even in that testing, even in that humbling, he still provides for us daily bread, and our clothing and shoes and our health. But he does this with a promise. This time of pilgrimage is but temporary. There is an eternal promised land awaiting you, a home in the heavens that will never fade away. God's promise to you is that he is bringing you to a good land, far more abundant than Canaan was for the Israelites. A place where there will be no lack, no suffering, no tears, no sin, no death. We heard on Sunday, you can be certain of this because Christ Jesus is risen from the dead. He is risen indeed. Though you follow in his footsteps of the cross now, you bear suffering, poverty, sickness, and shame, and death here on earth. Your inheritance is not going to fade away. It's there. God has vowed, and he will not change his mind. On the last day, your body will be raised to be like Christ's glorious body. And you will enjoy a feast that has no end. You will be seated with a multitude of brothers and sisters, dwelling in a house that will never fade away. Tonight we heard Paul write, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Apart from Christ Jesus, there is no peace, certainly no thanksgiving, only anxiety. But in Christ Jesus, there's true thanksgiving. For in Christ Jesus, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your hearts and minds. It is a peace that surpasses all understanding because that peace is found even hidden under the cross. Because that peace is present, again, whether in times of abundance or need, whether you have plenty or are hungry, that peace will guard your hearts and minds, in times of joy and in times of sorrow, times of happiness and in times of sadness, will guard you with a certain hope that you have eternal life. Therefore, commending all things into God's loving hands in prayer, you can rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, even when the days hurt. For by faith you know that God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Therefore we can say, regardless of our earthly circumstances, to our God be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.